Hi, this is Circe Olson-Westner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family, and this is our podcast, At Ease. I'm speaking with Pooja Goyal, who is an optometrist, she's an advocate, and she founded Apsara Balance Health, and that's located in Albuquerque. I met her through an organization called Forward Flag, which is a local group that works with veterans. And so I wanted to say, hi, Pooja, how are you?
Hi, how are you today, Circe?
I'm doing well. We are in a pandemic, I just want to say to our listeners, so we're doing this interview by phone. So I read about you on your website that you were born in India. Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood and your background?
Sure, yeah. So I was born in northern India, which is right in the Himalayas, so the border of India and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful area, it's a beautiful mountain range. Unfortunately, during the time I was a child, there was terrorism. We did have, it was a war zone between different countries in conflict. Mm-hmm. So we did have to leave and, leave to the United States. But I did go back and forth to India quite often, pretty much almost every year, every other year while I was growing up.
So you were raised practicing yoga, and you have an extensive knowledge of acupuncture and Ayurvedic medicine. Did your parents practice that? Where did you study those fields? And then you're an optometrist now. Where did you get your degree?
Actually, no one in my family does any of this holistic kind of work. Mm-hmm. I just kind of did it organically as a child. I was so interested in all of it. So mm-hmm. I went into the philosophy of yoga. I started studying Ayurvedic balance and lifestyle. Acupuncture I did a little bit later in life, mm-hmm. but it was just my intrigue to understand the body and how we work more with the environment. Mm-hmm. So that's just something I picked up for myself. And then, yes, I did my doctorate in optometry in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think it's been 2006 I graduated, so I did my residency in Berkeley after that, mm-hmm. in pediatrics and emergency eye care.
Wow. So as a practicing optometrist, you're really busy. I imagine you were busy and you were doing your residency and you were doing all these other studies. Why did you start Apsara? Why did you start your own business?
So that's very dear to my heart. So mm-hmm. I have practiced all over the world as far as patient care, and I've worked, do a lot of nonprofit work. I still do. I still go overseas to see patients. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with veterans all over as well, mm-hmm. all over the country. But this program actually came from the basic concept of it is self-care and self-love, mm-hmm. and learning how to have a relationship with your body and your emotions. Mm-hmm. And I lost a baby boy, my son Malik, a while back. And so this program was created in memory of him, because when you're a parent and you bring a child into the world, you want that world to be safe and loving and beautiful and mm-hmm. inviting. And it's scary when you have a child here and there's so much unhealthy lifestyles and people. And there's so many people influence your child. You're not the only one raising your child. Right. So this came from the program of, I want to honor my son. I want to honor the children who are here and honor the kids who are on their way, because they deserve a better world to live in. And it's our responsibility to give them that. And so it's, up to each of us to step forward and, take care of our emotional and physical health, because it's so simple. We take care of ourselves, we take care of our kids, our communities, and we take care of our planet. So it's just a very simple concept. It's just a ripple effect. So that's where this program is now very near and dear to my heart, where I feel like in honor and memory of my child, as well as the kids who are here, I really do want to just bring up the vibration of this planet, really get people to take care of themselves.
Yeah, because your vision is on your website is truly beautiful. It's not a program, it's a lifestyle, and it just talks about, it just has that very loving message, and it's so inclusive. What does Apsara mean?
Apsara, so it's an Eastern word, like an Eastern philosophy. It means the merging of spirit to matter. So I look at it as a merging of the heart and the mind, or in this case, Eastern and Western medicine, or just the, you know, balancing the feminine and masculine sides of ourself, the yin and yang. So it's really merging our emotions with our mind.
Okay. Yeah, I mispronounced
it. No, that's fine. It is just like the balance of the two that everyone's always trying to achieve, you know, the heart and the mind.
Is it also, Apsara also a deity or something in mythology?
It is. It's like a celestial being. So it's more of a feminine, kind of a goddess, or kind of a feminine, an entity. But it's, you know, she's sort of in this world, but not in this world. But she merges both worlds together, like the physical world and the spiritual world.
So you had obviously a lot of opportunity to come up with different ways to teach and develop your practice. Why were you drawn so much to the philosophy that you've adopted? I know you mentioned your son dying and creating a better place, but how does Apsara play into your personal philosophy when you come to do these practices?
So it's my lifestyle. So I wasn't ever planning on having a business. I wasn't planning to create anything for anyone. It was just through, yes, my son, but also my own upbringing. I've had my own traumas, my own experiences, you know, abuse, sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. So all of these techniques, learning about my body, learning how my emotions affect my body, it came from basically the human experience more than anything. I mean, I did the studies along the way, but it was more my personal experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's my lifestyle. And that's still what I do. I do it every day, regardless if I'm teaching it or not. It's how I live my life. Mm-hmm. And that's how I, you know, heal myself and bring myself to a state of peace.
It's kind of like when we read about the mind-body connection or mind-body-spirit. It sounds very much like things that our listeners might be aware of, just not under the same terminology. Let's talk about your blog for a minute. I know you have a blog on your website, and it offers real tips and insights on your lifestyle and on holistic health and Ayurvedic medicine and much more. What is your blog called?
So it's actually just my blog on my website. It's just the blog page, but so my website, and it'll probably be on, you know, we'll probably print this with the audio, but it's apsarabalancedhealth.com, and there's a blog page that has articles and videos that just gives some tips to do at home and how you can take care of yourself. And I'll be adding more and more videos over time, just so people can do a few poses or techniques at home.
So I definitely will put the web address and any links to your things on the bottom of the podcast. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about what Ayurvedic medicine is, and also what does pranayama mean? There are a lot of terms on your website that are very intriguing, and I know people would like to know more. So Ayurvedic medicine and then pranayama.
So Ayurvedic medicine comes from India. So it's a tradition of India. It's a healing science that's thousands of years old. And so it's on the basis of the energy within your body, the constitution of your body, and working with the natural environment to heal yourself. So working with food in particular, having specific food and nutrition, herbs, and exercises and breathing techniques. So it just works in a very natural way with what you were basically born as, you know, what your body type is.
Mm-hmm. So when you say body type, is it like, you know, pear-shaped, apple-shaped?
No. those are the Western terms. I don't know. It's more your, we call it the dosha, which is just kind of an energy makeup of your body. So kind of like, I mean, it could give you a physical shape, but it's more your energy. It's like your emotional energy, your, you know, how you physically, you know, how you take in things. Or you could be, you know, more soft-hearted or more hard or more fiery or more patient. So it actually changes what your body constitution is.
Well, that sounds very interesting.
So it works with the psychology of yourself as well.
Well, that sounds very interesting. And so tell us what pranayama is.
So pranayama basically means a breathing technique. So prana in Hindi, it's from the from our language of Sanskrit or Hindi in India, and it means life force. So it's the same as what you would say in Chinese medicine. You probably heard the term qi. Qi is also life force. So prana is just your breath. It's breath control, pranayama. So it's your breathing technique. So pranayama is, when I talk about it, there's just different types of breathing techniques that we can do to get the body relaxed and heal the body.
Well, that's very cool. That's interesting. So I met you through an introduction from Forward Flag, which is a veterans group that focuses a lot on preventing veteran suicide. And I know you've been doing some work with Forward Flag. So what are you doing with the veterans?
So right now with the vets, I am doing this program. So my program, the way it's created, it's eight sessions, and we actually work through the entire energetic and emotional systems and physical systems of the body. So each class is like 90 minutes, and basically so the veterans come to a group together, and we do 90 minutes of breathing techniques. We'll do meditation, we'll do yoga poses, we talk about nutrition, we do something called acupressure points, which are acupuncture, but we just, you know, do pressure points on the body. And so it's just this whole time we work on getting people to feel good emotionally and physically and more balanced. And then we meet again. We might meet twice a week or once a week. And then once I get through the eight classes, we usually start the program over again. And usually the same participants come and new participants come. So we are just going through the program while I'm there. And that's for the peace, you know, the peace of mind. They learn how to have a relationship with themselves, a relationship with their emotions. They learn how to take care of themselves. They do the techniques at home. I usually give like a booklet session to take home that they could do at their own time, so they can, you know, take ownership of their health. So they can spend 20-30 minutes a day alone by themselves doing a few of these techniques before we meet again for the next class.
So now we're in this pandemic, and I know you're not meeting them, you know, face to face. How are you reaching out to them now?
I've sent them a few. I just had to start a YouTube channel, which I hated doing, but I did it. It's just another thing I don't know about.
Right.
But I started a YouTube channel, put up some videos of some like 20-30 minute videos that, you know, you can just follow at home. So I've sent that to them. We've tried to set up, you know, some Zoom time to do actual live classes, but it hasn't quite worked out. The thing I've found about some of the veterans is that they want to meet in person. You know, they prefer the community feel. So it's been kind of a harder situation to do it online, which I understand. So I'm just kind of sending a few videos here and there, keeping in touch, but really we're just trying to plan on when we reopen. We're all gonna, you know, do a class together when that time comes.
So about these YouTube videos, are they out for the public consumption, or are they private videos, or can people see them on YouTube?
They're public. They're public. So I can, it's the name of my business, so I can give you that. But it's, if you type that in, then yeah, the videos are up. So it's for everybody.
So I'll put a link out to the YouTube channel too. Because I think it is interesting, because, you know, right now we're all kind of sitting in kind of a pause with, you know, working out of the house, you know, our businesses are closed, our lives are kind of on, you know, hold. And I know people are really looking for things to calm themselves down, things to occupy themselves, things to, you know, to learn new skills. So I would think that maybe your YouTube might be something really inspiring for some people and definitely educational, especially if you've never thought on a more Eastern philosophy here. And so speaking of that, I think you mentioned, I know you do on your website, what are chakras?
So chakras are what we know from Eastern philosophy, mm-hmm. from India, energy centers in the body. Mm-hmm. So I'm also, you know, a scientist, so I like to understand what does chakra mean mm-hmm. physically. So mm-hmm. There's a research being done that chakras are basically what I see them as, and also some studies that are trying to prove this, is the nerve plexus along the spinal cord and brainstem. So we have areas on our body and along the spinal cord where a nerve plexus is just a bundle of nerves, mm-hmm. and each bundle of nerves stimulates a very specific set of structures like organs and tissues. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing with chakras is I kind of break down each part of the body into what nerve plexus I'm looking at, almost like a compartment, mm-hmm. and I see, okay, well, what organs are in this compartment? What tissues are here? So what physical blocks are here? What medical conditions do I see here? What emotional blocks? Because there's also tests being done mm-hmm. where we see emotions actually sit in our body. They're not a mental thing. They're not in our head. Mm-hmm. They're actually part of our nervous tissue. So we have emotions that actually get stuck in these areas and in energy bodies. So when we talk about chakras, they're basically nerves. It's a nervous system. I'm opening up the nervous system with different techniques. So we release, you know, we open up energy, we release blockages. When you do that, you're actually reprogramming your body. So like mm-hmm. your neurons start to make new connections. So you're letting go of patterns, you're letting go of traumas, you're letting go of beliefs that you've held on to, and you actually reprogram your system to function in a new way. So we're actually bringing the body, the energy of the body, the nervous tissue into higher vibration.
Well, that's really cool when you explained it like that with nerve plexus and things like that, because, you know, I've seen all these charts. There's indigo and pink and yellow yeah. and green and, you know, and some of the chakras are, you know, anger. But when you mentioned it, you know, when you do get angry, sometimes you get a bad feeling you get like a rock in the middle of your stomach, you know, or if you start to cry because you're watching something on TV that's really sad, your throat chokes up. So it does go with emotions in those particular areas of the body, which would align with the chakras. It's pretty fascinating.
It does. It's actually really amazing. And the colors actually correspond to everything's vibration. So it actually corresponds to an electromagnetic frequency. So when you convert like a vibration of a cell into a color, there's always a color, you know, associated with a vibration. So we see in the upper parts of the body, the colors are cooler, like blues and indigos. Mm-hmm. The lower part of the body has frequencies that are lower, which actually convert into warmer colors like orange and red. So the colors actually mean something. It's just the vibration of what our body is, what it vibrates at.
You know, this is amazing because this kind of thinking, these chakras have been around for thousands and thousands of years, and only now is science kind of proving it. It's like amazing. So what else do you want our listeners to know about you or your programs? I do want to interrupt myself. I'm good at that. You wrote a book. It's a workbook. I saw it on, it's called The Holistic Health Guidebook. It's on Amazon.
Yeah, it's based on my program. It took me a while to write it, but it's basically a breakdown of each one of the classes we do, or each one of the chakras, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's a guidebook that people can take home, and they can work through it. They can work through one energy center per week, or do one every other day. They can do one for the whole month, but each section has a few poses with descriptions. It has pressure points, nutrition, meditation techniques. So each one has a breakdown of how to heal that part of the body, along with the psychological and physical problems of each chakra.
That's very cool. I'll put up the link to that too. So now that I stopped interrupting myself, what else would you like our listeners to know about you or your programs or anything in particular?
As far as me and my program, everything I do, whether it's working with patients, whether it's this program, it's just a reflection of me. It's a reflection of me. It's a reflection of my child. And so, you know, to me, it's all about, I think in life, it's about us finding our inner peace, finding who we are, finding our own sense of self, you know, not being so dependent on everybody else to take care of us. But we are so powerful, you know, each one of us is so powerful. We all have so much of an impact on each other and on our planet. And I don't think people realize how powerful they are. And when you realize how divine you are, you know, you get to decide your life, you get to decide your destiny, you get to take care of your body. Your body is a gift that's been given to you. That's your responsibility. You know, your emotions are something that are for you to understand and for you to have compassion for. And so I feel like each one of us, it's just time. You know, with everything going on right now, it's pushing people to face who they are, face mm-hmm. the wounds that are inside of them. And that's actually a good thing, because we need to do that, because those things are there. They're not, you know, they were going to be there anyway. So it's one of those things that we are now being asked to look at ourselves. And so whether it's through my program or some other method, mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter what path we take, as long as we get there mm-hmm. to find our inner peace. And that's what this all represents to me. It's not me, it's not a business. It's what this means to life, to humanity, to our planet, you know, to sustaining the earth even. And so to me, it's a much bigger vision of why I'm doing this. It's just take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You know, fine. Take care of your emotions. Take care of your body. Find that love for yourself. Find that power within. That changes your life. That changes everything around you. Your relationship you have with yourself, everything in your life is a reflection of that. Everything.
Wow. So. Go ahead. Yeah. Did you want to add anything? That was really good.
Sorry,
that's fine. So I guess my question to segue into that one then is, what would you recommend for people right now who are feeling really anxious or sad or hopeless or angry? What kind of tips do you give for people who are feeling all these emotions? Maybe these are emotions they haven't usually felt during this pandemic. What are some thoughts?
First, acceptance. You know, accept that they're there. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't run from it. Don't drink your way from it. You know, just don't run from it. Don't run from it. And the thing that we need to do is first accept what we have. First accept what's there. Sometimes that's hard. That's painful. But that acceptance gives you a sense of compassion. It gives you a sense of peace. And then from there, you find ways to deal with it. It might be a breathing technique you do. It might be an online yoga class you find. It might be talking to friends. You know, whatever you find is healing for you. Mm-hmm. But I think those emotions, the biggest thing about human beings is we tend to run away from ourselves. And what I kind of integrate in my program, not that it has to be my program, but mm-hmm. what the method is that it's very sensual by nature, meaning that we push on the senses, you know, whether it's visualization, whether it's scent, whether it's nutrition, taste, touch, mm-hmm. You know, all of the senses come alive, sound comes alive, we use sound therapy. By doing that, we get put more back into our body, and we get more grounded. You know, we have to be in our body, we can't run away. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a matter of connecting to nature. The beauty is, at least where we are, I know people are all over the place listening to this, but most of us can at least go outside.
Right.
You know, you can go out in nature. You can go onto a mountain for a hike. You can go for a walk. If you connect, I think that's actually one of the simplest things I can recommend mm-hmm. is go out in nature. Because if you connect to the physical environment, you feel safe. Mm-hmm. You feel peaceful. You feel grounded. It gives you a sense of clarity. If you need to cry, you cry. If you need to scream, you scream. Mm-hmm. Don't hold your emotions down. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're meant to be felt and then released. Mm-hmm. So, you know, allow yourself that space, you know, to do that. So there, you kind of guide yourself, trust yourself that you'll find the methods that you'll need to take care of yourself. And it can just be a simple class you take online or breathing technique or just a walk you're going to take for 20 minutes outside, you know, or, you know, if you have a dog or a child or, you know, playing, you know, finding those basic simple beauties and joy in life each day.
That's good advice. So when we're sitting here in our house and we're feeling kind of sorry for ourselves, that's also acceptable because we're validating our emotions, but then we should do something else that's more productive, is what you're saying?
Yes. Accept what you feel. We're allowed to feel anything we feel, but don't be a victim. Mm-hmm. Don't be a victim to what you feel. Don't be like, well, that's it. That's the end of my life. That's over. Life is over. Like, it's not. You know, you get to decide what your life is going to be like. You get to decide what's next for you. We don't have control over everything external, but we do have control over how we're going to respond to things. And so I would say, I mean, yes, everything is valid. What you feel is valid, but you are never a victim. You know, never take away your power like that. Like, we are not victims to anything or anyone or any situation. Like, you have the power to decide what to do in any given moment.
Well, this has been really interesting, and I know we could go on for a long, long time. And I know that you said that you might try to make us a little tiny mini video to put up on our podcast. So we'll definitely have more opportunities to collaborate to share your wisdom. But for right now, I think this is a good stopping place. I wanted to tell our listeners, thank you so much for joining us again today. This has been our podcast, At Ease, and I've been speaking with Pooja Goyal, and she is a teacher, a physician, an advocate, and thank you so much for this conversation. It was really, really nice and very inspiring.
Oh, thank you, Cersei. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and everybody out there. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.